ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Just having one of those thoughts about the Bills and the luxury that is Josh Allen. Talking to Steve Reed about the Panthers and going through the reverse AFC power rankings and even the playoff picture, you know, some of these teams. Nothing really profound here. It's just even, I think, Carolina, Jacksonville, we talked about for a minute. It's usually this way, maybe, but several teams, it's really hard to decide what you need to do, what you should do. The Bills get Andy Dalton this week, probably. And this was quintessentially Andy Dalton in the Bengals era.
Right.
Like, it wasn't Allen then. It might have been Brady and Manning then. But what are you really supposed to do here as a franchise? What are your goals? Is it okay to just realize and go with the very likely reality that your ceiling is only right down here? Like, you're not going to win big with the quarterback you have. So what should you do? Should you flush it? Even if he's good, you don't cut a player like that. The cap stuff, the contracts make this all very complicated anyway. But what are you really supposed to do? How long do you go? You're talking about Cam Ward. You're confident that the Titans will go at least into year two with Cam Ward. And I wouldn't be. I'm not that confident in that because they're just losing constantly. And, I mean, he's giving points away. Like that empty hand slip touchdown last week, that's embarrassing.
And it is easier to just walk away. Like, it's not as much of a penalty. Like, for a while, this took – Josh Rosen, I think, is where this came home to roost permanently. Like, the guaranteed money just isn't as punitive. You can walk away from that first-round pick, a high first-round pick, and it's going to hurt. But it's not like your franchise is stuck. Back, you know, Sam Bradford is a name that comes to mind. Like, huge amount of guarantees up front for a guy. And, like, you just, I got to see this through. I can't walk away because I'm going to have all this dead money and I'm not positive. So it'll just give you more patience. You could go one and done. I don't predict that Tennessee will, but they could. It's not... You're not going to be tripping over yourself to get that out of the way. You're just going to put it over there and, like, draft another one and see if that works.
It's just that, as everybody knows, with the Bills, there is never a single question about this. Like, you just do not even have – we have it with Sean McDermott, but we don't have it with Josh Allen. Like, there's just never a single question about what to do at quarterback. The Bills' current backup quarterback was this in his turn with the Bears, Trubisky. But Tua and the Dolphins, well, they've been to the playoffs. Right now it looks pretty bad and it might be untenable. But there's an example of a guy that's pretty good or has been pretty good, and what do you really want to play for? What's Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray, big money, 101 draft pick also. He comes out for two games, and it looked like their offense with Jacoby Brissett, who's played for almost every team at this point, like Dalton and like, you know, Wentz and these guys who keep ending up behind center on teams, their offense looked seemingly much better.
There's a lot to be said for having a guy who's not as talented, not as athletic, because if he's not as athletic, he's not going to be looking to get out of there and extend plays and just take in the drop and everything's on time. Like that's kind of the allure of Flacco, you know, with the Bengals or anywhere he goes. It's like he is going to take his five steps and that ball is getting out of there. He's not going to. The only time that it doesn't is if the rush gets there too quickly and he's dead. He's not going to try to extend plays despite his little bootleg late in that game last Thursday, which was still incredible that that happened. It's just coming out. And if you draw it up right and you're hitting open guys, it looks like a real professional outfit. Whereas Murray, maybe he can't see everyone all the time because he's a little guy. I'm not taking a shot at him. He's made some big plays, but like he might functionally need to get out of there sometimes to see. And then it's a fire drill.
That's Bryce Young too.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So yeah, it is a tremendous luxury, obviously, to have this guy, but there are like, what is, you mentioned Murray. What is Justin Herbert? If this year they win their 9 or 10 or maybe 11, I don't know what they looked really, really good early and not so much lately. And I don't know, like if Herbert leads them to 10 wins and a wild card loss, I mean, you're going to keep going. He's super talented and also under contract, and it's not the Tua thing, but I mean, when is it going to happen? Like, are you going to elevate beyond, like, he's sort of stuck in between tiers, I feel like, Herbert. Like, there are superb traits athletically there. The arm is great. It seems like he sees the thing. It's not like there's a processing problem, but something just keeps sort of getting in the way there.
One of those things that gets in the way there is Mahomes. And we have that problem, too.
Sure.
Frankly, the Bills have had that problem too, even though not in the same division, which is another layer to it, you know? Like just how hard it is to meet whatever the standard needs to be when you're paid $50 million a year. What are we paying for? Stats? We're paying for you to stats and be great, but get us to the top. Or else why do it? Why am I paying 50 just to keep up with the Joneses? Like, why am I paying $50 million a year to a quarterback that I can't really imagine getting to the top? But you never know, right? I mean, that's Daniel Jones right now, or, I mean, other examples, Garoppolo with the Niners,
Purdy with the Niners. One Flacco year, even, like, where he just played out of his mind in the playoffs. Like, you got to get in, and maybe my guy can have a great few weeks. And that, sometimes that's all it takes.
And he did go through Manning and Brady that year to get to the top.
So, yeah, I mean, you to some extent, you can never tell, which is why you keep going with a guy like a Herbert or even maybe a Murray. I don't know. They're not the same player to me.
No, Herbert's easy. Murray's not easy.
Right.
Right now.
Right. And there's just, I don't know, Arizona, that could spiral. And that coach could get fired. I mean, that's already really messy, right? With that sideline thing and then the $100,000 fine and just...
The Tennessee loss was horrendous.
They are just... That. Yeah, right. They're just stuck.
Or that's the same game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the guy that fumbled at the... Yeah, right. And they had that weird interception that turned into a Tennessee touchdown.
803-0550 is the number. That's right.
That actually happened.
Yeah. Ward threw a pick. Tyler Lockett, on his way out the door, recovered the fumble in the end zone on that play for Tennessee. Here's Bill with us. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Would Dean make a move? I don't know. I'm kind of hanging on this weekend's game here after a bye week. If they lose to the Panthers, I'm not panicking yet, but if they lose to the Panthers after a bye week, after losing those two games prior, I'm hitting the panic button for this year. And I think he might do the same. if these receivers don't step up and play better, and the offense doesn't look a lot better against the Panthers, and especially in a loss, I think he's going to have to make a move. The problem is, who's going to go get? Like, I'm not – who's out there? Who's he going to grab? Another Palmer, another Elijah Moore? Like, I'm not really big on what's going to really fix what's going on. But I will say this. After the Xavier Worthy debacle in the draft 2 years ago, and then he tore us up in that playoff game, I personally thought Bean should have been gone after that. I think his draft picks are all questionable. Some of them are average at best. I'm not going to go through the list since he's been here, but everybody knows a lot of them have been busts. A lot of guys he's traded up for in the second round were off the team in 2 years. It's been just average at best. I think it's been average, with the exception of the Allen pick. And I don't think you can just live off the Allen pick for your entire tenure here. My thing is this. I would love to see them go in a different direction at the GM position and keep McDermott around. I would love to see what McDermott could do for the next 5 years with another GM, drafting better players, maybe some superstars. And I hate the excuse, oh, these drafting late in the first round every year. You're going to tell me there's not 32 to 40 players in the draft that you can't hit in the high second round or late first round? They'll turn out to be better players than what he's done. I find that hard to believe. And this is the thing, too. When McDermott, his first year, when he was the GM, they let him pick the players. He actually did a great job. And the core of the team, who Dawkins is still here, and Tre'Davious White's back, but I mean, he was the core of the team for when they were really good, this team. And then he brought in Poyer and Hyde as free agents. Those guys were the core of this team for a while. And I'm pretty sure, didn't he draft Milano too? I think McDermott, I'm not positive.
Well, Doug Whaley was the GM, but yeah, McDermott was here and Bean wasn't. Yeah.
Bean was in the on-deck circle, though.
Right.
But I don't know.
Didn't they say that Whaley was kind of in the background at that point?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think he was going to get fired at the end. So I've never really heard it said that that's McDermott's draft. But it makes sense. I mean, that he maybe would have had more of a voice than he's had since he brought Bean in.
I guess I've never known what to do with it, because Bean was here like almost immediately thereafter.
Right. I mean, Whaley got fired. And they all got fired the day after the draft, I'm pretty sure, is what happened.
To me, if it's not a cop-out, it just speaks to the randomness of it all. You know, just like, no offense to anybody who actually does that for a living, but if any person with a computer and some base knowledge of professional sports and college football got a year in the chair, they might do just fine, you know, because everybody's ranked everything for you. And I don't want to make excuses for the draft pick. Fans are bent right now, out of shape on the Bills' recent draft history, and they're not getting anything this year yet that they're that excited about. Right. And the season's almost half over. Like, I don't want to pretend that there aren't certain facts there. It's not just that they pick late. It's also that they just don't have many needs. So you might have an offensive lineman, say, or a quarterback. I mean, God forbid. Just certain positions, especially 2 or 3 years ago, were not positions of need for the Bills. So they were kind of drafting for, you know, not luxury, I don't want to say that, but just in case, right? I mean, a couple of corner picks, different things. And this year, certainly, of course, they were fond of the players they ended up picking, but I think it was just more of an organizational attack mode on the defense, mm-hmm, because of how it became more dilapidated as last year played out, and even the year before. Like, that was coming, and you lost on Elam, so let's just push all our chips in, let's shove on defense. And they do that, and right now, like, it's pretty early to judge this.
Deion Walker is saving the day. Like, that, he's the only guy. Hawes is on offense, but
what's that even?
Right.
Like, you don't have Hairston.
Right.
Hairston is critical. He's critical to, I think, how the season plays out, and in turn,
right,
this point about how their drafts look. Because how can you blame the Bills for Hairston?
And what you might need from him here moving forward, I mean, they opened his practice window yesterday. Didn't the Ravens have a rookie who emerged midway through last year, and they shuffled people around? Like, somebody,
Wiggins, the guy got hurt this year.
Yeah, I can't think of the name. I just said a name. I'm not sure if that's the right one or not. But he took over outside, and they moved Marlon Humphrey inside, and that everything changed on their defense. Like, if you can get that in Hairston, not that they need to replace Taron Johnson as the nickel, but like, if you get someone who, like, oh, this guy, he's as good as Benford, right? Like right out of the wrapper. I'm not telling you that's realistic, but that's kind of what happened in Baltimore last year. This defense, short of a trade of someone who could just step in and give you, better than replacement level play right now, that's what could save them on defense, is if Hairston showed up and could just play.
I think the guy you might want from Baltimore is Ardarius Washington. He was somebody that mixed, I think he was undrafted even, mixed into their defense. And then this year he was out for the year before the season even started in typical 2025 Ravens fashion. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. You mentioned not having a lot of big needs, which I agree. We have a lot of good to very good players. But you can make the argument that we don't have enough great players. If maybe you need three or four to really punch through, and we've got like 1.5. Should there be some thought in trading a couple of very good players? I'm thinking Epinesa and Rousseau to try and get a Hendrickson or a Max Crosby or someone like that.
I think it's very tough to do. I don't see – whenever I see a trade like that, dare I say it, even in fantasy football, I'm always – the team with the best player wins the trade. So if the Raiders want to trade Max Crosby, which they might, today there's Dallas speculation about him, which is kind of funny, right, because they had Parsons. If I'm the Raiders and I want to trade Crosby, I don't want any Greg Rousseau's or Epinesa's back. Dallas did get that tackle for Parsons, but I don't know. I think that's tough to do. It's a logical premise. I just think it's tough to execute because teams should not want – they want your draft picks.
Right. You know,
they want to save money. Rousseau was not going to save you money. Right, he's already paid.
He's going to be cheaper than Crosby, but it's still like it's a commitment that any big ticket defensive end in the summer before Rousseau was signed. Rousseau was a part of that trade idea in my head.
Yes,
like, to me there was no way you were making that trade without moving him. Once he's signed, I'm not trading for Max Crosby now.
I think you can. This is Parsons. I think you can. You do see players go the other way, but the draft pick is the point. Like, it can't be instead of offering your draft pick, if that's what the caller was driving at. It can't be instead of that. You'd have to include that, and then maybe both sides see it feasible to throw the player in because, you know, they need somebody and you don't have a spot for them anymore.
And then the money needs to work somehow, I don't foresee that kind of trade. I mean, the money that he is owed, not just this year, but guaranteed into next year, I don't think the Bills can make it work right now. As much as I know the league generally, the way, you know, and this is a lot of this is generated in our field, I think, like, oh, they can figure it out. Like, I don't know if there's figuring out $20 million left on a contract for this year. Like, the Bills have got $2 million in cap space, and he's guaranteed another 30 next year. Like, I just don't see the Bills finding a way to do that. Like, if you sign a guy or trade for a guy that is due a new contract, that's a different thing. Because you can structure that in a way that lessens the initial cap hit and you can make something work. But if you're talking about somebody that's walking in the door with a huge deal already, I just don't see the Bills being able to make a play for that.
It's just, with the draft, looking back on drafts, you can just go... You can go numb talking about it because there's always someone. The Bills make the decision to draft Kincaid.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson Smith and Jigba goes 5 or 6 or 7 picks in front of Kincaid, you know, sort of in the 20 overall, was it maybe? Like, oh, well, why didn't we do that? Trade up for Jackson Smith just because you can conceive of it, it should have happened. Somebody might say that. Well, it's obviously not that easy. It's a two-way street. And so you don't know who the player is going to be. There's also Quentin Johnston, who didn't come on until this year. Flowers, Burks is the year before.
Yeah.
You just never know. And the way we sometimes so harshly judge the GM when there's so much guessing involved is tough for me. But this is what we do. This is what fans do. Like, bad drafts are bad drafts, and you should have known. So he drafts Kincaid. He drafts Kincaid over Michael Mayer and Sam Laporta. Mayer, tight ends. Mayer was the consensus tight end one. There was some thought for Kincaid. Kincaid didn't test, so he wasn't as popular a pick for that. He's who the Bills go with. Mayer, he was so good, the Raiders drafted Bowers over him the next year. Now Bowers is hurt. Mayer's giving you one catch for 10 yards against the Chiefs. Laporta had the big first year, big touchdown year, but not a lot since. He's okay. It's always changing. It's always Kincaid's last game was really good. It's always evolving, and it's, oh, we have good players. Maybe you would say Kincaid. You might even say Coleman, although maybe that's a little lofty. We don't have great players. Well, you could have picked Ladd McConkey. Or you could, and what's he done this year, by the way? You could have picked Worthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's their number three option in Kansas City in their passing. It's just like always changing. You never really know what you're going to get. And it's still, I want to say with Coleman, it's still early. It won't be early for much longer. Like, this team needs to win, and they were counting on him. And so that needs to pop pretty soon here. But I've still got a winning team.
Yep.
I'm an 8-point favorite here. Yeah, like the caller before said, if they lose to Carolina, it's sirens. I mean, that will be, they haven't lost 3 straight in 7 years. Like that, and it's the Panthers after the Falcons. No offense. You know what? Offense.
Yeah, right.
I do mean offense there.
Yes.
I can't say no offense to that. I am meaning that harshly toward the Panthers and the Falcons.
It is intended to hurt them.
That's right. Yeah. I can't say no. I apologize for no offense. This will look bad. And then you might be a couple games back at that point. So, but they haven't done this yet.
Right.
They haven't lost this game yet.
Man, I would love to know, like, just how I assume the self-scouting and pouring over, like, what do we need? The timing ends up being pretty good with the deadline being 2 weeks from today. They had a week to really go to work, cut everything up, every route, every guy is run, right? How open are we getting? How often are we not open? You know, because there surely are times where Allen is not taking throws that are there, right? Whether he sees it in time or was hoping for something else, like, you know, there's misses from the quarterback. Every guy has them. So like if you're really sitting down and you're isolating Keon Coleman's routes from every single game, how often is he winning? How often is he to blame for not being open? Whatever it is, like, do that work on everyone and then go sit down with the GM and, like, let's really talk about this. Like, what should we try to do? What answers do we have internally? Do we have any? right? Is Gabe Davis an answer? Is more playing time for Tyrell Shavers an answer? Is there anyone on waivers that's an answer? Is Tyler Lockett an answer? Is Ray McLeod an answer?
Keep going.
And then it's, okay, trade. Okay, what about Rashid Shaheed? What's that cost? What does Chris Olave cost? Like, how do we make that work? What role do we have for this person if we trade for him? Can we make it work? Will he spring this other stuff? All of that. They should have been working on that 12 hours a day for the last 10 days. I assume they were. And I'd love to know what the results of that were. Like, are they all just sitting around and providing their intel, providing their answers, and Brandon Bean is just sitting there going, "I said I wouldn't trade.
I don't know.
Like, I can't imagine that. Like, if his coaching staff is saying we have a Keon Coleman problem. We got a this problem, that whatever problem we need to fix. He, to me, because he was mean on the radio back in April, cannot just sit there and do nothing.
803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
It looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with a rating that we've got, you know. He has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach of a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results.
It's the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, talking about the Bills' recent struggles. He's talking about Justin Fields, actually. It's tough to win when you have a quarterback like that, I suppose. Tyrod Taylor going in, taking over, reportedly, for Fields. What a disaster. And by what a disaster, of course, I'm referring to my best ball portfolio.
Right.
All those Fields teams.
Who
dust.
Could have seen any of this coming? That Justin Fields wouldn't have been a good idea to be a starting quarterback in a two-year contract, even. Like, go Jets! J-E-T-S, Jets. Of course it's going to be a disaster. He's been mostly a disaster. You're the Jets.
Match made in heaven.
You're always a disaster. Aaron Rodgers signed for you and played four plays and his leg fell off. You're the Jets. Nothing's going to ever work.
Jets in the playoffs by 2030. Yes or no?
I'm going to go no.
That'll put some longevity up on that
That's
board.
That's not that far off.
2030.
That is not that far off.
Five more years. This year plus five. The Jets' playoff drought makes it to 20 years.
I can see it.
7 out of 16 make it.
I mean, I don't know. What do they have to do? The thing that they have to do, like, yes, they need to draft the right guy at quarterback, right? They need their Drake May or their Josh Allen, like, you know, whatever you prefer. Like, May's a little more current. It was only draft before last. They need that guy. But then they're going to need the rest of it, right? Drake May was not going to work with Gerard Mayo and a bunch of Belichick leftovers. They needed to, like, clean house. And even then, like, it takes a while. The Jets, front and center, there's the owner today. He's not changing. He's going to be in charge. So that
he's blaming Fields.
That is ultimately going to limit who his new head coach handpicked, right? I mean, that's what happened.
Right. Fields ran on Detroit when he was the defensive coordinator of Detroit.
You
only so many options. But.
You are. I mean, Glenn was a very attractive candidate. Right? Like, both of the Lions guys were expected to get jobs. So, you know, they got their jobs. But I feel like the more they flail around, like, they need to kind of luck Pegula had when he hired McDermott. He went looking for a guy like McDermott because Rex Ryan was a clown show. So he wanted strong faith-based leadership. It's something he even said at the news conference describing McDermott as his introduction. Right, so he was looking for a certain profile, and man, he nailed it. I mean, if he wasn't looking for that, maybe he would have landed on somebody else. I don't know, but they wanted a conservative process guy, and they got it, and the results speak for themselves. The Jets are going to have to find that guy first, and the pool, I think, gets thinner all the time. With the more news conferences that Woody Johnson does, where he talks like he talked today, your name here, hotshot young coordinator, you're like, I don't really want the Jet job. Okay, nobody can win there. I'll wait. I'll wait till next year. And, like, you know, you can get burned, right? The Houston guy should have maybe taken a job 2 years ago. He didn't, and his star has fallen. So, you know, sometimes you got to jump, right? Ben Johnson waited, and that looks like it's going at least well enough early on here in Chicago. But man, like, the organization from the top down there, there's a problem. The owner, his kids, whatever it is, that'll go on as long as he's there, I think. I mean, the Bill, we lived this life for a very long time.
Well, yes. And I know that Zach Wilson happened, but they're winless. They should be picking in the top five. Unless Taylor ruins it for them by being decent, which could happen. The Bills almost never did, right? They picked Darius in the top five the 1 year, but they were usually able to win six games.
Right.
And they never, well, they did eventually Manuel, but usually they would not pick a quarterback, right? Because they were a little bit too good. There was a little bit of hope with Fitzpatrick and the like over those years. So 2030, though, I'd have to, if you really want that action, I would give it to you. I'll even go to 29, and like, if 2030, 29 can be the deadline, just because I'm nice like that. If you wanted that, I'll give you that.
I'm down.
That the Jets will not make the playoffs until at least 2030.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We can word that however we need to word it.
That's it right there.
Put an amount on it. I'm good with whatever.
Got to account for inflation, because by then, the soonest one of us will get this. Well, no, they could make it next year.
Right, you could win the bet.
The soonest you'll get the money is in 2030.
Right, so I need it to be $1,000.
Which will be worth
$50. That's about what a sheet pizza and 50 wings are probably going to cost by 2030.
I want my money in medals if I win. And I don't mean nickels, like that nickels guy. I want gold or silver. I demand it. David is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Wanted to make a couple of points. We keep talking about lack of weapons for Josh to throw to. We're hashing over Coleman and Kincaid and Shavers and all those guys. He's got a reliable tight end who's been with him for 7 years. His name is Dawson Knox. I think the guy is an excellent, excellent tight end, and he's getting one or two balls a game. I don't understand. When I watch the games and they show the view from the end zone, it looks to me like he's open a lot, and Josh is not even looking his way. And the other guy that they're not throwing to at all, who one of the big hypes about him when they drafted him was he's, you can line him up as receiver or in the backfield, is James Cook. Why are we not throwing 10 balls a game to James Cook? I don't understand. I don't know what Brady's doing. And I have a big problem with Brady as far as, I'm not talking about trick plays, but he doesn't seem to be, the offense is not very imaginative. And right now, Josh, especially the last two games, but really the whole year, he looks like he's lost out there. Like, he can't find a receiver. He doesn't know what to do. I don't know if that's like preparation in the film room with Brady, or he's drawing up bad plays or whatever. I'd like your opinion of why you think. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Josh. We all love Josh. I think he's great, but he hasn't been great the last few games, and I want to know what you think is going on there.
Well, I don't think it's because they don't throw to Knox more, or even Cook. I mean, 10 targets a game. Look up what that would be in the NFL. No, 10 targets a game would be like elite. And I think the easy answer is neither of those guys is good enough to command those kind of targets, even Cook. But this came up last week, and I'll capitulate a little bit on thinking that they maybe not only should, but will throw to him. Well, they don't throw to him at all, really, right now.
Right.
So I think you might see some of that Sunday. Knox has never been, how you can tell, not that every coach is perfect, of course, but how you can tell if a player is good enough for a point like, he needs to get the ball more. With receivers and even tight ends, they earn their targets. And Knox has just never done, even in his big touchdown year, you heard me, if you listened back then, bet against him because, like, that's a fluke. And it was. PFF this year, for what it's worth, 50 tight ends graded, he's 45th in receiving grade. And that's not because Allen chooses not to throw to him when he's open. It's because he's not open. And he doesn't really play that role anyway. So, yeah, there's been some confusion on their offense. We all talk about separation or lack thereof. You had injuries last time. But I don't think they have to be that far away. Get those guys back. We'll find out tomorrow whether that's going to happen. You'd like to think it would after a week off. Kincaid and Samuel.
Yeah, know. I mean, I want to be hopeful, especially about Kincaid. And like that, I think, you know, forget about, I'm not even, Knox is an afterthought to me. Kincaid's numbers extrapolated, like he's just not on the field enough, but when he is, their offense is at its very best, like among the best in the league. Like their expected points per play with him on the field is great. I think they got to walk a fine line there because of his health, but playing less than 50% of the time, I think, is something that should change. I don't want to go overboard on Cook catching the ball on Sunday, but if there's an alternate line for like 3.5 catchers or something, I'd bang it on him on Sunday, because I would expect that, just like the questions are coming out here amongst the fan base and us in here, I think those questions would be asked internally. Like, especially if we're trying to beat a blitz, why didn't we do this? Should we be doing this? He's the next most dangerous guy on the field outside of our quarterback. Let's get him the ball this way too. Like, maybe, you know, so predictable, we're running it when he's here, we're passing it when he's not. Not that they don't pass with him on the field, but it's, the caller said it earlier this week, the him off the field is a pass play. Like, you got to change that. So that doesn't involve him catching the ball necessarily, but that would be a new thing that they haven't done much of this year. I also don't want to become a team that just throws it to the running backs constantly.
No.
That's what the Chargers had been earlier in Herbert's career, and like, what are you doing here?
That's right.
So be careful, but having it as something else to have teams have to be ready for and prepared for, and who knows, maybe he houses one because, you know, he's good in the open field. I mean, I'm all for it.
The one team that gets away with throwing the ball to the running back a lot is San Francisco. Like, the one good team. You don't see the Chiefs do it. You don't see the Ravens do it. You don't see the Eagles even do it. Like, Barkley didn't get balls really through the air. That's last year I'm thinking of. It's what bad teams do. So yeah, those are low. Those are not low percentage. They're high percentage plays, but they're just low impact plays. Throwing the ball to the running back usually. And by the way, Knox, I mean, he does have value, and it's in blocking. And I mentioned PFF and where he ranks as a receiver, but run blocking, second in the league, pass blocking, top 10, and the Bills use him accordingly. They use him right, I think. Thanks for the call, David. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Guess who? Trista Crick joining us. She's Trista. How many Tristas do you know? She's coming up at 6 with the
one
with the NBA season to start tonight. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, WGR.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.